You are listening to Colchonero Chat, the premier English language podcast on Atletico Madrid and a part of Into the Calderon, the SB Nation home for all things Atletico. I'm Jeremy Barron. My guest on this edition of Colchonero Chat is Robert Walker. Robert Walker, the guest on this edition of Colchonero Chat. Rob is here to recount the bad and the ugly. There wasn't much good of Atletico's goalless draw with Alaves on Saturday. He's also here to preview the Titanic clash taking place at the Vicente Calderon on Wednesday, and that is the Copa del Rey semifinal first leg against Barcelona. Plus, we take your questions. All that and more after this. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. Good. I just woke up from a little nap.
Yeah, it's a long Monday.
Yeah, definitely. Congrats on your Falcons, by the way.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm very, very both excited and nervous. So. Yeah.
I hear that. I'm hoping you guys win.
Yeah, it seems that way. Most people are against the Patriots, so I'll take it.
Out of principle, I'm against the Patriots, but...
Yeah, fair enough. Most people are, I'd say.
Yeah. I have a pretty close friend who's a big Patriots fan, and he's really pumped too, and he's like,
"There's yeah, but this... they've been in so many."
I know, it's insane. Time to let someone else win. That's my thinking.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and I believe in the Falcons. I never thought that they would get this far at the beginning of the season, but I will most definitely take it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So from a joyous occasion to whatever happened on Saturday.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
There's 90 minutes of our lives we will never get back.
We got to talk about it, man.
I know. Oh, wow.
There are things in this life that we don't want to do, that we shouldn't have to do, but we got to do them. This is one of those things.
Yeah, nil-nil draws. They're invigorating.
But let's delay that process as far as we can, because I want to do the La Liga whip around.
Okay.
We'll start on Friday. As we enter round 20, the fixture list rolls over. So we start at El Sadar, Osasuna 1, Malaga 1. Second 1-1 draw. Those two have played out this year. Osasuna still bottom. Or no, I think they're second from bottom now, aren't they?
Let me look.
Okay, yeah, they are second from bottom because Granada exist.
Oh, yes, of course.
Speaking of Granada, they lost 2-0 to Villarreal in the early game on Saturday. Also on Saturday, Eibar 3, Deportivo La Coruña 1, Leganés 0, Celta Vigo 2. Celta's still hanging around in the race for the Europa League places. On Sunday, a controversial one, Real Betis 1, Barcelona 1. Find it amusing how the Barcelona, the Catalan press is now crying for goal line technology. I find it amusing how this finally set them off. It was a goal, to be fair.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Without doubt.
Yes.
But, goal line technology should be in every league sooner rather than later.
Yeah, that was the first surprising result on Sunday. The second surprising result, Espanyol 3, Sevilla 1. Nico Pareja getting sent off in the second minute. That was
a crazy game.
That was nuts. And Espanyol put up 4 on Sevilla earlier in the season in a 6-4 loss. They put up 3 on him here. It's tough for Sevilla.
Yeah, I thought when they brought it back to 1-1, they may go on and win it, but they just fell apart. And that early red card must have killed their fitness.
You got 10 men for 88 minutes, and you're done.
Absolutely.
Athletic 2, Sporting Gijón 1. And Real Madrid 3, Real Sociedad 0. Madrid getting, despite the injury issues, a pretty easy win for them against Sociedad. That was, we kind of just strolled through that one. And on Monday, Las Palmas 3, Valencia 1. 10-man Valencia. A Munir red card, or two bookable offenses, two yellows equal a red. And Las Palmas out here scoring crazy goals again against Voros Valencia.
Yeah, and also the most hilarious piece of defending I've seen this season.
Oh, God.
Mangala. That was wonderful.
Oh, dear God. Wow.
Man City paid near £40 million for that guy.
They paid over 40.
I can't believe that.
The dude can't defend.
Yeah.
Like, he comes out for the ball, right? He comes out for it. It's already by him.
Yeah, dives for a header and misses it, though.
It was absurd. Yeah. Now, the one result we did not mention. Deportivo Alaves 0, Atletico de Madrid 0. That is Alaves 0, Atletico 0. Despite the scoreline, a goalless draw, we are not lacking in storylines in this game, Rob.
Yeah, that's right. There's a big difference between a game that finishes 0-0 that you think you should have won and one where the other team kind of bossed you and honestly feel kind of lucky to get out of it. Like,
yeah.
The Alaves were a lot better, if you ask me. Yeah, so
we usually start these games at the beginning, but we're gonna start this one at the end with the incident that took place between Diego Godin and Daverson. Now, if you weren't able to watch the game, didn't watch the game, didn't follow along on Twitter or check out the blog over the weekend, this is what happened. Very end of stoppage time, Alaves have won a free kick in a semi-dangerous position. So Godin and Daverson, Godin had just been booked, by the way. Godin and Daverson are positioning themselves to defend the free kick. And the cameras captured, I didn't see it at first, I just saw the end result, which was the spittle dribbling off Godin's face, which was disgusting. Daverson spat it at Godin. And then, mere moments later, Godin returned the favor, spitting around, I think, the back of Daverson's neck or his shoulder. The free kick is taken, and, you know, cleared away, game ends, 0-0. Rob, What did you think of this? Disgusting? Was it?
Well,
I'll
erase
this.
You know,
tell me what you
obviously
thought.
Obviously, whenever you see players spitting on each other, it's never something you really want to see. So, yes, from that angle, it's definitely disgusting. And it you know, you could kind of see it coming somewhat because there was sort of frustration building between these two sides from the start. Daverson had kind of sharp elbows and had been a little chippy throughout the game, and it was that sort of game. So something like this happening wasn't totally out of the blue.
Yeah, I think that's right. And, you know, you never want to see that on a football pitch. It is really a disgusting action. For both players. And now Daverson did start it. And Daverson had been a thorn in everyone's side throughout the game, and he had been dominant in the air. As you mentioned, the elbows, the flying around, without much concern for where said elbows were going. That being said, you never want to see that. It wasn't a great look for either player, especially Godin, who was the captain day, as Gabby was suspended. And it's not a great look. As of now, there hasn't been any retribution from the league. I'm sure they have or are going to take another look at it. But as of now, there hasn't been a suspension handed out for either player.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be totally surprised if that did happen. And given the injury to Hosema in the game, that could seriously make our defensive depth quite an issue.
Yes, it would, because Hosema now out for 3 weeks. That came out today, but he's gone for 3 weeks with an adductor tear. So that's wonderful news. He hadn't been playing well or anything.
Yeah, exactly. He had been in his best form the whole season, and you know was getting runouts in midfield as well. So a real shame.
But with Godin, this is a guy who has never backed down from anybody. He's a club legend. He has done as much as really anybody. There are a few players or other club figures who have done as much as he has to bring Atleti into this elite status on the continent. And this is a guy who has been victimized by Luis Suarez last season. He got a nice old black eye from his countrymen. This is a guy who Cristiano Ronaldo basically body slammed in the Spanish Super Cup a few years ago. Godin doesn't back down from anybody, so what Daverson did was filthy and rightfully pissed Godin off. I can't exactly condone his responding in kind. If you ask me, and I take a less serious approach at it, it was the best part of this game. The two spat at each other. It was the most drama-filled part of the game.
It was the most exciting part of the game, for sure. Yeah.
But on a more serious note, it's disgusting. We can't condone it. And hopefully nothing comes of it. It's bad behavior. It's a bad look.
It is. No one looks good coming out of that.
No. So, let's talk about non-spitting things from this game. For Atletico, there wasn't much. Atleti were dominated, and they looked terrible. This is one of the very worst games they played all season, and they still got a point out of it. How?
I know, and they had, Alaves had more than double Atleti shots in this game, yes, and double their shots on target. It was a very poor attacking performance in general, and they did well to hang on to the 0-0 draw, which is horrible to say, but it's true.
Yeah, you're looking at 61% possession for Alaves. They outshot Atletico 19-8. Atleti had only two shots on target. And completed just about 70% of their passes. It was much lower than that, especially in the first half when there were stretches early on. Atleti could not complete 2-3 passes in a row.
And this was probably one of Atleti's strongest teams they could have possibly played as well, which is quite deeply concerning.
Well, they were very open, and Alaves definitely exploited that. There was no Gabi. Again, he was suspended. So you had Carrasco and Gaitán on the wings, Koke and Saúl in the middle. I thought Koke played very well. A lot of the responsibility fell on him. Saúl did not play great. Gaitán, I want to talk about him in a minute. And Carrasco was really ineffective. He's now scored once in his last 10 games. When he was substituted, he kicked a water bottle, and now there are all these rumors that he's fallen out with Cholo. Yeah, it's going great. Many great things came from this game.
At this point. Yeah,
just so many good things came out of this game, man. I really cannot recall one single great individual performance. I mean, I guess Koke played well. Moya was really, really good as well. That's about it. No one came out of this game looking good.
Yeah, and the fact that Moya has been one of the best players for Atleti in recent weeks is never a good sign. That means he's facing a lot of shots, and eventually it's going to give.
You know, he's shown he's up to the task, and this is a guy who didn't play at all last season. He played, I think, just 5 or 6 games at most. And he's come in since Oblak got hurt. He's played well, and that is, I think, unquestionably a good thing. His team hasn't played well, which has forced him into more action than he would like to see. And I'm still just amazed that Atleti hung on to the goalless draw here. They had no business hanging on to that draw. Alaves should have put 2 or 3 past them.
Alaves have been good against all the big teams this season, but nothing on this level. Like, they needed a late goal to rescue the first game against these two. So this game, they were in control. Probably should have won it.
Yeah, and speaking of that first game, it was kind of the polar opposite of that first game, right? Where Atletico, the opening game of the season, absolutely dominated at home. They were overwhelming Alaves. I think 27-2 they outshot them in this game. In that game, Gamero won. They won a late penalty. Torres won a late penalty. Gamero scored it. And then Manu Garcia hits this wonder goal to end the game with a 1-1 draw. Here, it was the opposite. Alaves, from the get-go, just came out flying. Teo Hernandez was marvelous. I can't wait for him to come back next season.
Yes, he looked extremely good.
Yeah, and all their play ran through Marcos Llorente, who was on loan from Real Madrid. A good friend of the pod, Kian Sobani, warned us about this before the game. But, Llorente, everything ran through him.
Gomez was good as well.
Yeah, Ibai Gomez was good. Victor Camarasa was also really good. He just couldn't guide his shot.
Had more than enough chances to win this one, honestly.
Yeah, they really should have. Atletico were too open in midfield and really missed Gabi in this game, and they had absolutely nothing going forward. Griezmann was just not really with the program. Gamero was even less with the program, and another game in which Gamero doesn't score. That's now one goal in his last 11, and it's very concerning, this patch of form at this bad run of form that Gamero was on right now. Very concerning.
Especially given how much was paid for him in the summer.
Yeah, he hasn't looked like a 40 million euro striker all year. That was the going rate.
No.
And Atleti kind of had to pay that. That was the going rate. That was his buyout. Atleti got very close to it, so he became an Atletico player. He's looking more like a 10 million euro striker right now. And part of the reason he struggled in this game was because he got no service, because Atletico could not circulate the ball with any consistency.
Yeah, that's right. And, I mean, you would hope that he would be able to provide some sort of hold-up play or something to keep, to sort of join the two sides of the play together, but he really just wasn't on form at all today or at all recently.
No, and so often he was out on the wing and, like, in crossing positions, and I'm like, what are you doing? Get to the middle. You are not a creator. Get to the middle.
He's one of those physical players on the team.
Yeah.
In that position.
Yeah, just there was really nothing good from this, and it was really amazing. Alaves came out just firing from the get-go. They hit the crossbar right before halftime. I think it was LaGuardia who hit it off a free kick, just a really improvised touch, and he just smacked it off the bar, and then Daverson missed a header that he probably should have placed better. And just Alaves had the ball. They had all the dangerous opportunities. They had all the width. And it seemed only a matter of time before they were going to go ahead.
It's yeah, and it had the game gone on for 20 or so more minutes, they may have.
I'm not even sure if they would have needed that long.
Yeah, maybe longer stoppage time.
Really, despite the 8 shots, Atletico had, I think, 2, maybe 3 good moments of attacking play throughout the 90 minutes. One of them was from Nico Gaitán, and boy, am I upset with him.
I noticed that on the Twitters.
let's reset this. This is about 15 minutes to go. Atleti have cleared a corner away. Stefan Savic, who came on and actually he played well for in place of Jimenez, plays this long ball over the top, evades everybody. Gaitán latches onto it. He's home free. And like a dumbass, he tries to round Fernando Pacheco instead of just shooting the ball, and Pacheco easily snares the ball. What are you doing? You have not had a single attack the entire game, and you decide to be fancy with it and round the keeper.
Right, and especially for a team that had been playing as confidently as Alaves were, you know, their goalkeeper wasn't probably going to be making any mistakes in that sense. Then he really should have shot or tried to dink it over the keeper, but
he tried, and there were 3 other defenders in the vicinity, and he tried to round them.
Right, exactly.
Shoot the ball. Soccer is not that complex. Football is not that complex. Shoot the ball.
The more you shoot, statistically, generally, you're going to win. So, yes. And that was a big, big, big chance.
It was the only big chance of the game. They had suffered for 75 minutes to get it. And in years past, I can't help but thinking, even last year, and Atletico would have killed the game off with that finish. Just finished that one chance, and they would have killed it off.
They used to be it, right?
They just needed one chance, and now they need a lot more chances.
Yep, and they used to be able to rely on set pieces to bail them out if they couldn't break through a team, but that's been a problem throughout this season.
And last season, too. Just no one talked about as much last season because Atleti were doing really well. Some very concerning goal droughts in the team. Gamero's we already talked about. He's got 1 in 11. Carrasco has 1 in 10. And Gaitán has played a pretty poor game. Angel Correa didn't do much of anything. Fernando Torres is, he's now officially passed 4 months without scoring a league goal. Something's got to give here, I have to think.
Yeah, and the attack of Atleti has been off for quite some time now. There's been games where they've scored a couple of goals or 3 goals, but it just hasn't been enough on a consistent basis.
No, it's been very disconnected, and In the Copa, it's been a little different. In the Champions League, it's been different. But in La Liga, it's just been a constant struggle to get this team attacking well, to get this team tactically right. There are a lot of ugly goal droughts right now in this team, and that's got to end soon because the injuries have mounted. Atleti have only 15 players available for Wednesday, which is not good. You're already going to be down Jose Ma for 3 weeks. Augusto's probably still out for the year. Oblak is not coming back till March. And who knows when Thiago's coming back. He's been out with this phantom knee injury since the Villarreal game.
Coincidentally, one of his worst games in recent memory.
Coincidentally. Yeah, and Thomas is rocking it at the African Cup of Nations. He's just helped Ghana to the semifinals in AFCON.
Yes, exactly. And unfortunately, he's a player Atleti could really use in this moment.
Yeah, I'm not sure Simeone would play him even if he was available.
I mean, given the injuries, he may have to, even if he was here. And we don't know what shape he's going to come back in from AFCON either.
Hopefully good shape. So as bad as this singular game was for Atletico, still in fourth place. They now have assumed Atleti have now assumed fourth place all for themselves. They are in sole possession of fourth place. There we go. On 36 points, Real Sociedad on 35, Villarreal on 34, Athletic in 7th on 32 points. So the race for fourth is tightening up because Villarreal and Athletic won, but Atletico didn't, Sociedad didn't win, Barcelona didn't win, Sevilla didn't win. So a wild weekend in the top four, and Atleti actually come out of this looking decent, which they don't deserve.
It's going to be very tough for them to hold on to that fourth spot, but I think we've been fairly optimistic that that's going to happen. But it is going to be a grind because the three teams below them are all very good, and Celta too are very good as well.
Yeah, and I mentioned on the previous Colchonero chat when Carlo Valladares and Sean Walker stopped by, I think that Atleti are all but out of the top three race. A Barcelona win would have, or a Sevilla win even, would have confirmed it. I still think they are, because they've just been so inconsistent, especially away from home. You never really know which Atleti you're going to get in La Liga from 1 week to the next, and that you can't consider them a team worthy of automatic Champions League qualification because of that.
Yeah, the league has been a major struggle for Atleti all season. They've been good in the Champions League, and they've been good in the Cup, but the league has never really come together.
No, and we have varying degrees of optimism on this program. When Atleti, put together a game good enough for a 2-0 or 3-0 win, it's like, hey, maybe this is the corner, they're turning it. And then the next week, they take a dump against a good team on the road, or they do this against Alaves.
Right.
And to Alaves' credit, this is actually a pretty good team. They've only lost twice at Mendizorroza this season. They're 24 points, very solidly mid-table. They're 11 points clear of the drop. I mean, this is a good team that is really well-drilled defensively, one of the top defensive records in the division. They played very well, and they deserve more than a single point. Theo Hernandez was brilliant, I thought. And again, very excited for him to come back next season and then duke it out with Felipe Luis at left back.
Yeah, there's a positive.
Yeah, there was an argument made on Twitter. He was Atleti's best player on the day. I didn't disagree with it.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah.
He looked extremely, extremely good for such a young player.
Yeah, only 19 years old, and he was just fantastic, rampaging up and down the left. Nearly created the winner at the very end before the spitting incident took place between Godin and Davison. What else
and
we got?
Good quality young fullbacks are hard to get, I'd say. So
yeah,
in the current market.
So if you can bring them up from your own academy, the better. The more you can bring up from your own academy, the better. What else we got?
From this game, not a lot.
Thank goodness.
I don't know.
I did the mattress maker, the match poll on the Into the Calderon account. All four options were Miguel Angel Moya.
Yep, so, I would say he deserved it.
So Moya won, Matches Maker of the Match. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
To Atletico's, number one. So, we are done with Alaves. Thank God. And after this, Copa del Rey. The Copa del Rey is back on Wednesday. Atleti returning to the Vicente Calderon to face Barcelona. Just the team you want to see after getting whipped on the road. Although Barcelona, again, did have a bit of a tough time against Real Betis. They are missing two key... They were missing Busquets and Iniesta in midfield, and it clearly showed.
Absolutely. And they've been very strange this whole season. They haven't looked, I guess, right either, like Atleti. Somewhat similar, but obviously they're in a better league position.
Yeah, they've looked right-er, but that was their sixth draw of the year. 12 wins, 6 draws, 2 defeats for them in league play. And there have been a lot of times this season where Barcelona haven't gotten out of first gear, and that's when Lionel Messi has to save them.
Exactly. And without Lionel Messi, they would be a lot worse off.
Yes.
But then wouldn't every team. So.
Exactly. I would argue that this is more of a Messi dependencia than ever, what Barcelona are going through right now. He has been so brilliant and has papered over a lot of cracks in this team. The even more direct style that Luis Enrique has employed this season has had some mixed results.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of upsetness at Luis Enrique throughout the year from Barcelona fans, which is curious given he won the treble in the league, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Neymar went on this long, long goal-scoring drought. I was still doing good work for the team. You still have Luis Suarez, and their midfield and their back line. The back line has always been a sore spot, but the midfield injuries and struggles from various players there, that's been a legitimate issue, and it's one that Atletico will look to exploit on Wednesday in the first leg of the Copa del Rey semifinal. The other semifinal, of course, is Celta Vigo and Alaves. Can't remember where the first leg of that tie is. Is it at Balaidos?
I thought it was at Celta. Let me see.
Yeah, let me look it up real quick. And okay, well, that's not very helpful, Google.
Yeah, it's at Celta.
Indeed it is. Yes, they are indeed at home against Alaves. So yeah, the winner of this tie will face the winner of that tie. You know how semifinals work. I'm generally more optimistic for a couple reasons. One, Atleti cannot possibly play worse than they did on Saturday, and they got a draw out of that game. So, and the second reason I'm optimistic is this is a big, big game. A big, big tie. Atleti are at home. And they're going to get up for this, and I think you're going to see a very different Atletico on Wednesday.
I would completely agree on the basis that Atleti are a very good over two legs team. I think they're kind of more built for that than league play. So we'll see how that goes. Obviously, it's never easy playing Barcelona.
Yeah, we've seen that over the years as Simeone's team has become one of the best on the continent. And we're seeing that disparity has been no more evident than this season, how good Atleti have been in two-legged ties versus over an entire league season. They just look like they were a completely different team in the Champions League group stage, and they've been excellent in the Copa del Rey, running and hiding after fantastic first leg displays. And that trend, I think, is going to have to continue. I think Atletico need to focus on keeping a clean sheet. If Barcelona score, that's probably not going to be very good heading into the second leg at Camp Nou.
Right, and controlling their front three and stopping them from scoring is no easy task.
It's not, and they've looked better. MSN have looked better the past few weeks after a period there where it was just Messi doing everything. I think they're all starting to feed off each other again, so they're going to be dangerous as ever. And under Simeone, Atletico haven't had a whole lot of success beating Barcelona. A goalless draw would suit them fine. Another draw would suit Atletico fine, I think. And as long as the primary focus has to be on not conceding. And I think everything else branches out from there.
Right. right, and if they do concede, especially if it's early, then that could force Atleti to come out, which could leave them open to conceding more goals, which would just be a nightmare.
Yeah, I am concerned, though, about the fitness levels, because Atleti have, again, only 15 outfield players to choose from. Griezmann played 90 minutes at the weekend. Koke played 90 minutes at the weekend. Saul played 90 minutes at the weekend. Godin played 90 minutes at the weekend. So, you know, all these guys are coming in just a few days rest, and they have to play a team like Barcelona. So that is a concern, but this is probably the biggest game of the year, other than, I think, the Bayern Munich games in the Champions League, the first Bayern Munich game back in September.
Leverkusen, sorry.
Well, Bayern Leverkusen. That's coming up. I meant Bayern Munich in the group stage.
Oh, okay. The last one.
Yeah, my bad. Yeah, I meant Bayern Munich in the group stage.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Other than that game, this is probably the biggest or second biggest game of the season. And it does represent a real chance at a trophy for Atletico. So they're going to have to play well. They know they have to play well. I don't see how they're going to play worse. They're going to be at home. The crowd should be into it. And I think it'll be a good one.
Yeah, it'll be definitely an interesting game for sure. Worth watching for everyone.
Yeah. And on Thursday, we're going to do a podcast that we have Renato Gonçalves from Barca Blaugrana coming on post-match to talk all about it. So expect that Thursday, Friday at the latest. Hopefully we'll have an engrossing and captivating and awesome match to talk about.
Yes, and hopefully maybe even a little bit of gloating.
Yeah, yes, I do enjoy the gloating. Scoreline prediction.
2-1.
To whom?
Atletico.
All right. I am going to go with a goalless draw.
That's a good bet.
Yeah. And it'd be yet another draw, but this is okay. This would be the good kind of draw.
It would be, especially nil-nil.
Yes. All right. Now, we actually do have some questions to answer on this edition of Culture Narrow Chat.
Hooray!
Yes, indeed. Three questions from, I'm terribly sorry if I mispronounced this guy's name, Ayush Upadhyay. From Facebook. Remember to like us on Facebook, Into the Calderon. The first question he asks, is there really a need to play Juan Fran as a winger?
That's a difficult one, because he's looked decent there, and he's been sort of off all season long, I would say. He hasn't been near his best. I wouldn't say there's a need to, but if you want to go more defensively, he may be a better option.
There is a question, and another one he asks, that ties into this. I'd like to know if you still prefer Vrsaljko at right back, given that he lacks that end product and is a bit reckless.
I like Vrsaljko a lot, honestly. I think he's been very good. He slid right into the squad. He didn't have the best of games against Alaves, but no one really did. So it's hard to single him
other
out.
Other than the goalkeeper, they were either decent performances or bad performances. this was an interesting one. And this started at the end of December with the Guijuelo game, the second leg of that Copa del Rey round of 32 tie. And it's part of it is about making the squad more versatile, and that's partially fueled by the transfer ban. If Juan Fran is at his best, then there's no need to play him as a winger. But Juan Fran hasn't been at his best this season. He's 32 years old now. He played more than 12,000 minutes combined the last 3 years. And plus he had, you know, Spanish national team commitments. That's a lot of minutes, all right? And Vrsaljko, he has been at times a bit reckless. But remember, this is his first year at Atletico, a side that is notoriously tough to break into, and once you get a spot, you need to nail it down or else you're going to lose it. And if Juan Fran is at his best, I prefer Juan Fran at right back. But this season, I prefer Vrsaljko, and moving forward, I think I'm going to prefer Vrsaljko. And also right now, I prefer Juan Fran. I still prefer Juan Fran over Gaetan as a winger, because Gaetan is not a natural right winger. Juan Fran is.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Gaetan, if anything, should only be on the left, really. Yeah, I would agree with you completely. I think Vrsaljko is good and on form. He deserves to keep getting picked there.
Yep. The third and final question he asks, which set of strikers should we go for on Wednesday? The pedigree of Torres against Barcelona, or the pace of Gamero? Now, Fernando Torres does have a great scoring record against Barcelona. Could it be enough to awake him from his slumber? Or would you rather see Kevin Gamero out there with Griezmann?
That's a tough one. My natural instinct is say go for Kevin Gamero, honestly. I haven't really bought into Torres at all this season. He hasn't looked really up to the level he should be at, or was. I would even consider giving Angel Correa a run, but I think he picked up a bit of a knock in the Alaves game, so I don't know if he's available.
That was going to be my choice, was Correa. I would say neither of the above. I picked Correa, but the question was Torres or Gamero. I think Simeone is going to pick Torres on Wednesday, and I base this on Simeone loves to go to Torres in the big games because he can win the ball in the air, he runs the channels, he can press up on midfielders, which Barcelona have plenty of midfielders who love to hang on to the ball. And that's all those reasons, I think, is why Torres is going to start on Wednesday. And Gamero just has not been getting it done. Again, one goal in his last 11. That's a really bad return for a player who needs to be scoring goals. So if the pick is between Torres and Gamero, I would probably pick Torres, actually. I'd pick Correa. If the pick is between Torres and Gamero, I'd pick Correa. But
yeah, same here, honestly. You know. Neither of the striking options this season have been poor, obviously outside of Griezmann, but even he went on
even
a
Griezmann's
bit of
had,
drought.
He's had a disappointing season, and this is now an annual thing. When are Atleti's forwards going to start scoring? And on and on and on. This has been a problem since Diego Costa left, and we could do a whole other podcast on all that.
And all the replacements that have come and gone.
Yeah. Yep. Again, we could do a whole separate edition of Colchonero chat on that. Yeah, maybe over the international break. Maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, when there's nothing else to talk about.
Yeah. What else we got, Rob?
I think that's about it for this week. It's a big game coming up. That's going to be a really interesting one. And then we have Leganés at the weekend.
Yeah, and we'll be previewing that one. Actually, you know what? Let's dive into that one a little bit now, because I think Thursday's pod is just going to be focused on the Barcelona game. So let's dive into that right now. Leganés at the weekend. First time these two met was a goalless draw at Butarque in the second round of the season. Leganés, I think they had the lowest goal-scoring return in the league this season.
Yeah, and only reason they're not in the relegation zone is because of the three below them are so bad.
They have Osasuna and Granada to thank for being so terrible. Yeah, Leganés have scored just 15 goals this season. That is the lowest ratio of goals to games in the league, just 15 goals, and they've conceded 33. They haven't won any of their last six, just four wins this season. So all signs point to Atletico winning this game. We'll see depending on how Wednesday goes, if Simeone intends to rotate, if Atleti have built an advantage or have an advantage heading to Camp Nou next week, then maybe Simeone will rotate a little bit. If it's a stalemate, or if Barcelona have the advantage heading back to Catalonia.
Well, it's a decent game to have in between those two Barcelona matches. A team that would basically be in the relegation zone, if not for three others. It's not the worst game, especially at home. But, it'll give opportunities for rotation, I'd say.
Yeah, and Leganés as a away form actually isn't that terrible. 3 wins, 2 draws, 5 defeats, 11 points from 10 games away, which is a pretty decent return. So,
yeah, it'll be interesting to see. They've been conceding a lot and not scoring a lot, so hopefully we can take advantage of that in some way or another.
But they're still 5 points, five points clear of the drop. So, could be an interesting one. I would say this is the kind of team Atleti need to be facing at this time to kind of get their wits back about them and go on this season and try to make fourth place theirs. And yeah, hopefully that's going to be an Atleti win. We'll know more after Wednesday on how Simeone is going to approach it. If he's going to stay the course or if he's going to rotate a bit, depending on how the first leg of the Copa goes.
Absolutely.
All right, so that's that. We are just about done here on Colts Narrow Chat. Before we sign off, I'd like to thank my guest, Rob Walker.
Happy to be on, as always.
You can follow Rob on Twitter at Trappin. That is at T-R-A-U-P-P-I-N. You can follow me on Twitter at J.B. Barron. That is at J-B-B-E-R-E-N. Remember to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at follow the blog's account on Twitter at Into the Calderon. You can also find all new and archived episodes of Colts Narrow Chat on these platforms: iTunes, Stitcher, Acast, Google Play, and TuneIn. You can find Colts Narrow Chat on all of those platforms. I'm not going to say them again because there are 5 of them now. Remember to leave a rating and review on iTunes. That'd be great if you would be so kind to do that. That would be great if you were willing to do that. It really helps us out here at the pod. And thus concludes the signing off message. Thanks for listening, as ever. We'll catch you on the next edition of Colts Narrow Chat. Adios.
Deuces.